top of the morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good to see you all today.
You know, a lot of us, we pretend we're Irish today, don't we? Just so we can enjoy the festivities sometimes. But it's good to know that whether you're Irish or Scottish or German or wherever you're from, Africa, that God is the same.
Amen.
He loves us all. Jesus died for us all. So that's good to know. We know that this week, again, there was some events happened in our state of Ohio, that tornado that came through. We want to keep those families that suffered loss in our minds and our hearts and prayers. And if there's some way you know to help them, it'd be a good opportunity to show some Christian love. Things happening as well. First of all, I was told to make an announcement. I don't normally do this. I will do it if somebody tells me. I don't research this information. But we have a couple that's been married 65 years, March 14th, as Jesse and Shirley Green. So, congratulations, and that takes some effort, but that's what God's love and God's grace will do for you. If you're here today, you're invited to lunch. So after service, there's a potluck in the fellowship hall, and enjoy that. Be a part of that with us, and we'll all enjoy that time together. Tonight, you can return at 6 o'clock. There's a community prayer service here. The whole community, different churches in the community, can try to get together periodically, and that will be here tonight at 6 p.m. So if you want to be a part of that, it'd be a great time. Then next Sunday is Palm Sunday and Cantata Sunday. Yes. So you heard the choir, right? They're worth coming back and hearing again, and bring a friend. Bring several friends with you and have them enjoy that cantata. Good Brother McSteinbrecher, how are you? And then Easter Sunday, we'll have a pancake and sausage and donut breakfast, I guess it is. For Easter, there'll be no Sunday school on Easter, but at 9 o'clock, I believe breakfast will start. So come be a part of that too. We have several things. The kids this morning had a little activity in their Sunday school. Hope they all enjoyed that. We offered them the resurrection story with the eggs and all, and I think they had a pretty good time and enjoyed that today. You know, like I said, this day everybody puts on their Irish. Where's the green? You know, the wearing of the green. And there's a story goes, these two brothers come over during a potato famine from Ireland. They was going to get them a job here in the United States. Now one brother, he was as smart as a whip. The other brother was probably one leaf short of a four-leaf clover. I mean, he just, you know. So anyway, he said, I'll tell you, you had to take an exam to get this job. The first brother says, I'll go ahead and take the exam. Then I'll come out and give you the answers, and you go in and you can pass the exam. Sound like a pretty good plan. So the smart brother goes in. The examination person asks him, he says, well, if you lost one ear, what would you be? He said, well, I'd be partially deaf. He said, well, if you lost two ears, what would you be? He said, well, I would be totally deaf. He said, okay, if you lose one eye, what would you be? He said, well, I'd be partially blind. He said, well, if you lost both eyes, what would you be? He said, well, I'd be totally blind. Okay, you pass the test, and then your brother. He goes and tells his brother, the answers are partially deaf, totally deaf, partially blind, totally blind. So his brother comes in, examination person looks at him, says, okay, if you lost one eye, what would you be? He said, I'll be partially deaf. And he said, well, if you lost both eyes, what would you be? He said, I'll be totally deaf. He scratched his head and he looked at him. He said, I'm not sure. He said, okay, if you lost one ear, what would you be? He said, well, I'd be partially blind. He said, well, if you lost both ears, what would you be? He said, I'd be totally blind. He says, I don't understand. If you lost both ears, how would you be totally blind? He said, well, me hat would fall over me eyes. Well, you know, Jesus said, having ears we don't hear and eyes we don't see. You know, I hope today your eyes and your ears are opened up so you can hear what Jesus has to say to you and you invite him into your heart today. God bless you. I got an announcement. Yeah. I'm glad she jumped up.
No, you're doing good. Thank you. That was good. I was wondering where that was going to go with the... So just a quick kind of a wonderful thing that's happening in our church. We're going to be having vacation Bible school, which we normally do, and it's going to be July 29th, and we'll have 3 days of vacation Bible school, and then the fourth day we're planning on having on August 1st, we'll have a carnival. The thing that's kind of unique this year is we're going to be joining up with 3 other churches, so it's going to be a combined one. Isn't that great? Yeah. So 3 different churches in the area, and they kind of looked at the facility here. Kathy and I and Maycene met with them this past week. They like the facility, and I feel like it's just going to be great. They're very supportive. It's the Baptist Church and the, I think, New Hope and the Harvest Church, I think. I think I've got the 3. So they're going to be joining with us. It's going to be exciting. We're going to have lots of workers. They have children. We're going to have so many different things that are going on. So if you want to be a part of that, prayerfully consider. We still need everyone that's here that's available that wants to help and be a part of that. We're just going to have more fun and more ways to minister in this community. So keep those dates open and prayerfully consider how you can be a part of Breaker Rock Beach Vacation Bible School, and the theme is we're going to be grounded on the solid rock, so not on sand, but on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. So things to look forward to.
Good morning. I get to share the missions moment with you this morning. Have a couple really exciting things to share. Starting April 10th, we will have LifeWise Academy that Pastor Bob and other pastors in the West Jeff area have been working on so hard, with active resistance by the superintendent. But it is starting on April 10th. They've got 4 students signed up, 6th grader, five now. Okay, another one, cool. And the school is right across from Harvest Chapel, so all they have to do is walk across the road and get their Bible lessons and then go back to school. The official legal term is release time for religious instruction, but this is strictly Bible, so that's exciting. And then another thing that's happened is the church has a CD, a certificate of deposit, that's been accruing interest. And so the church board voted that that interest should apply to missions. So LifeWise Academy and then Southwest Ministries in Arizona that Pastor Russ and Larry Lonas and maybe some other guys went a few years ago. It's for American Indians, and they worked out there. We voted in missions to split the $2,000 between those two as like their initial, they're going to become regular recipients of our missions fund, but we thought that was a good way to introduce ourselves and get them started, and they're quite excited to get it. So that's what's happening in our missions at the moment. Watch for further activities.
Good, let's sing, shall we? Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Let's stand.
Shout to the Lord, all the earth, let us sing. Power and majesty, praise to the King. Mountains bow down. Jesus, my Savior. Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to worship. Praise to the King. Mountains bow down and the seas will roar at the sound of your name. I sing for joy at the work of your hands. Forever I'll love you, forever I'll stand. Nothing compares to the promise I have in nothing. Nothing compares to the promise I have in you.
I sing the mighty power of God. Goodness of God. I might have put the wrong CD. I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you've been your voice. You have led me through the fire and the darkest night. You
running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. This is running after, is running after me. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. It's life laid down, I surrender now, I give you all my need. Your goodness is running after, is running after me. And all my life you have been faithful. And all my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Father, you're a good God this morning. We can't understand the depths of your love and your mercy for us, but we thank you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I ask the same question every week. Did you have a good week this week? Where's Larry? Where's Larry? Larry, did you have a good week this week, Larry? Raise your hand, Larry. You know those commercials they do on for leaf filter? And the lady says, don't get up on the ladder. Well, Larry obviously didn't watch that commercial because he got up on the ladder. And his wife said, wait till I get back before you move, Larry. So what do you think Larry did? Tried to step off the ladder, and then he fell and fractured his wrist. So, but we're praying for you, Larry. We're praying for you, Diane, especially, that you'll be able to get him in control so nothing else gets broken. So that was Larry's week this week. Otherwise, he had a pretty good week, I think. Right, Larry? But except for some people. Okay. Anybody have anything they want to share this week? I have a good praise. My car does not make any more noise now. After 4 bearings and 2 axles, the noise is gone. So there we go. I found it. Yep, it was the rear bearings, yeah.
I don't know if you guys know, a lot of times my sister Kathy joins us all the way from Georgia on Zoom, and she's got a prayer request. We have about 4 or 5 different people on Zoom today, but Kathy has a prayer request as well. Her husband went off on a fun trip to Savannah with a friend of his, and overnight while they were sleeping in Savannah, Georgia at a hotel, when they woke up, the truck and the trailer that they came in or that was part of their party is gone, has been stolen. So they would just really appreciate prayers that they would be able to recover that and there'd be no damage to the things that were lost and that were there. So,
hello. I just have a praise. I had a very unexpected and very blessed week with a friend, and I would like for that to continue very much. So I'm praising God for that.
praise. my mother turned 99 this past Saturday, and we had a wonderful family party for her, and she was so had such a wonderful day and good day. And she said, "Can you believe I'm 99? The Lord let me live to 99." She's hoping to make it 100 next year, so we'll see what He has in store for us. Good.
I wanted to give an update about Oliver. With Bart-Zuehlwinder syndrome, there's less than 100 cases in the world, so it's extremely rare. The latest update is the feeding team at Children's is waiting 3 weeks to see if he will need a permanent feeding tube. There's hopes that maybe in 5 to 6 weeks he may be able to come home, so we appreciate the prayers. Keep them coming. Jesse has created a Facebook like support page, and just if you want to follow his journey, I'd be glad to give you that, you know, after the service. So appreciate the prayers.
They can't hear the parking lot. You don't need the mic.
I just got to praise my neighbor, and we had a little run-in like neighbors do, and I haven't talked to him for 8-9 months. We just kind of went our own ways, and just kind of left each other alone, and, you know, we're neighbors, and he came every other day, and he just came in and gave me a hug. He said he's been going to church for 6 months, and he apologized, and I said, "Hey, we just got to get out of God's way," and he's still working all the time, and I got my neighbor back.
Anybody else? We're going to have prayer this morning for Kathy. We're going to have prayer for Kathy this morning, who's getting a shoulder replacement. So if she wants to come forward, where's Kathy at? Well, there she is back there. Anybody else want to be anointed with oil this morning for prayer? Because we're going to do that for Kathy for her surgery. So if you do, then just come on forward. You want to come too? Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Be with us, we ask. Lord, you know these requests that have been made this morning for little Oliver and for the other families and friends that are out here that have different requests, Lord, that were mentioned today. We have those that were not mentioned as well. Be with those who can't be with us this morning, who may be sick and afflicted. Be with Mike and his friends as they lost their vehicle and trailer that will be recovered with no damage. To find the people that did that, thank you for Sandy's mom. Lord, living to 99, we're praying that she gets to 105. And pray be with us this morning. Be with the service tonight as we gather again, Lord, with four other churches. So it'll be a combined church service as we worship the Lord together. So give us your strength and your blessings and your direction. Help us this morning, Lord, and just be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Yay, the microphone's working. So this song, I imagine most of you have heard it, and it's one of my favorite songs, and I'm hoping I can sing it. So anyway, I wanted to share it with you, even though my voice kind of bailed out on me this weekend, because the message is just so wonderful, because it speaks of Christ's love for us. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the things of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of this earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all, like a rose trampled on the ground. He thought of me above all.
Thanks for that, Holly. Dick has surgery this week as well. Getting a new eye or something, right? Getting your cataracts taken out. Well, early one morning, there was a husband and wife arguing over who should get out of the warm bed to make the coffee. The wife folded her arms and said, "Well, it's supposed to be you because it's in the Bible." Husband said, "It is not." He said, "Do you show me?" So she opened up her Bible and went to the New Testament, found the book. And she said, "Right here, Hebrews." Thought you need to hear that this morning. We're back in John chapter 4, starting 1 through probably 27. So we'll read that passage. Let's pray first. Father, just be with us this morning as we read your word. May it strengthen us, guide us, and direct us. May it teach us something that we haven't heard before and help us to change our lives so we can better serve you in your name. Amen. Amen. So now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. We talked about that last week. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he'd gone through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon when a Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them as a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I don't have to get thirsty and keep coming here and draw water." Told her, "Go get your husband and come back." She replied, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband. What you've just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus replied, "Believe me, a time is coming when you'll worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said, "I know that the Messiah, called the Christ, is coming, and when he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I'm the one speaking to you. I am he." So some of the message this morning I adapted from something called Corner Online. I used some of their scripture and things. But the news had reached Jesus that the Pharisees heard he was gaining more disciples. And the Bible tells us again that we talked about last week, it wasn't Jesus baptizing, but the disciples were baptizing. And then we say, well, why did he leave? Well, there was rising resentment of the Pharisees. So he left Judea, went back to Galilee, because it wasn't time for him to confront the Pharisees yet. So he avoided the confrontation. He didn't want to go and have a big confrontation with them. It wasn't time to do that. He came to a town called Sychar, which is near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Around noon's the hottest time of the day, so Jesus sat down to rest. Verse 6 tells us he was weary. And the thing we can see from verse 6 is Jesus got tired, didn't he? He was God, but he was man. He went through the same things we went through. He got tired, he got weary, he got weak. So he sat down to take a rest. But in those days, the Samaritans were rejected by pure-blooded Jews as the lowest of low. And when Judah, the southern kingdom, was conquered and exiled to Babylon, the lower society was left behind, and those left behind intermarried with foreigners and became religiously mixed or impure. So not necessarily him, but the Jews would see these people as, oh, they're mixed class. We don't associate with them, not purebreds, almost like the Aryan race type kind of thing, but in the Jews as opposed to the Germans. So 2 Kings 17:24 says, "And the king of Assyria brought people from Babylon, Kutath, Ava, Hamath, Sepharvaim," if you're going to pronounce these, you can read them anyway, "and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the people of Israel. And they took possession of Samaria and lived in its cities." So though the route to Samaria was shorter, the Jews intentionally crossed the Jordan River to bypass Samaria. They didn't want to go in there, so they went around a different way. It was going to be longer. They didn't want to go through there. But Jesus chose not to. And we ask, well, why would he do that? The Jews don't associate with Samaritans. Because he had a divine appointment. He knew what was coming. He knew why he was supposed to be there. So he went there. There was something he had to do that would change the course of this woman's life and her whole town. So he knew what he was going to do was going to change that life, that little society. You know, sometimes we choose to avoid the things that are hard. We choose to bypass that situation because we don't want to go through it. But a lot of times we go through the hard situations and we're better because of it. It helps us to get on their side. It helps us to have a blessing sometimes. We miss opportunities to witness and grow. We may be saying, I don't want to go through that. I'd rather just avoid that. But the reality is we have to go through it. Those of you who are married, ever get in an argument with your spouse? Like, I don't want to go through that. But sometimes you have to, right? Because the husbands have to learn what the right thing is. Amen. It gives both opportunity to grow, doesn't it? Well, this is what I said. This is what you said. I didn't really mean that. You get a chance to explain what happened a lot of times. So you go through hard times sometimes to get to the other side because you need to. So maybe the next time you think you want to avoid something, ask the Lord, is this my Samaria? Is this where I need to go? Because I need to learn something, or I need to be taught something, one or the other. Or maybe I can give you glory in this situation, even though I don't want to go through it. Anyway, Jesus' disciples left and went to town to buy food, and a Samaritan woman came to the well to get water. The well was usually outside of the city, so people had to go to it. Hello? Hello? It's not me. And it was on the main road. But it was unusual for a woman to come to the well alone, especially at noon. Noon would have been one of the hottest parts of the day, so they would have already gone in the morning when it was nice and cool. All the women would have probably gone together. So why did she come alone and why did she come at this time? Because she was probably a social outcast. She'd already had five husbands, and the one she was with now was not her husband. So she probably wanted to avoid people. Said, I'll go when nobody else is going to go. I'll go in the hot part of the day. Nobody's going to be there. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Like, well, what are you doing here? I didn't expect anybody to be here. What are you doing here? So Jesus sees her, and what does he do? Does he cast her aside and get away, you lower class person? Does he degrade her? Well, I can't believe you've done this. No. He starts a conversation. Isn't that a good idea for us to do? When we see people sometimes that we think seem to be outcast or not the ones we usually hang around with, start a conversation. Hey, how's it going? What are you doing today or whatever? So he started a conversation with her and asked her for a drink. It was a way of getting her attention because she probably wouldn't have spoke to him. But he spoke to her. Woman was taken aback because she'd never expected a Jew to associate with her. But Jesus did. Verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. So here's something you need to understand. A Jewish man in those times did not speak with a woman in public, not even his wife. I didn't know that. Did you know that? He didn't speak with his wife. As a woman, you were seen as an outcast in society. But this was not just any woman. She was even lower than that. She was not a Jew. She was a Samaritan. So she's surprised. Why would he be talking to me? He broke all the customs, didn't he? He broke all the rules. He broke all the norms and said, well, I don't care. I'm going to talk to her because I have a divine appointment. I have something greater than society has, their laws and their traditions, because I'm bringing her the kingdom of God. Regardless of whatever happened, he saw her need. He loved her. Regardless of her gender or status or citizenship or her sin, he wanted her to hear the good news so she could have a relationship with him. Right? Nobody else probably would have done that. The disciples would have said, no way are we talking to her. But he showed them an example, didn't he? You can go to these people. You can tell them. You can talk to them. We want them to come to know the Lord. Sometimes we see people and we don't want to talk to them. I'm talking to that person. Right? But we need to talk to that person. We need to talk. How are you doing? Do you know Christ? However you want to talk to them. Jesus answered and said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, the woman didn't understand. She was thinking of, well, I came here to get water. What do you mean, what's living water? She even stated that. Jesus had nothing to draw with because the well is deep. So she's probably wondering, how are you going to get living water and how is that different from regular water? I want some water, but you're going to give me, what's living water? So she didn't really understand. Jesus answered and said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. So living water quenches spiritual thirst. When our soul is dry and thirsty, we feel like, what is going on? I can't take this anymore. I've had enough. I don't know where I'm going. God, are you there? Living water quenches our thirst, make us alive spiritually, and it's not water from the ground. You can't go to the faucet and get it. You got to go to the source, which is the Lord, right? God, I need a fresh touch. I need some living water to make me alive again. Our attitude should be, as we see in Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for God. Like, I need something. I can't go through this life without you. A lot of people think they can, right? They may go for a while, and then they find out, I can't do this. I can't carry on. I can't make all these decisions. I can't guarantee all these things. Our soul needs spiritual food and water, just like our body needs water and food from the earth. When we deprive ourselves of spiritual food and water, we become weak and parched and thirsty. What happens to you when you don't eat or drink all day? You start to get a little bit shaky sometimes, or you may not be thinking clearly or whatever happened. May get irritated, right? You know, I saw that Snickers commercial, you know, you need a Snickers bar because you're getting hangry or whatever it is. We get that way spiritually sometimes too. We kind of drift away. We don't realize our condition until we see some of the effects, how we're acting, what we're saying, what shows are we doing, what are we listening to, those kind of things. It can happen so easily and so slowly that we don't realize it until somebody says, what are you doing? What's going on with you? What happened? And you're like, hey, I'm spiritually dehydrated. When you get physically dehydrated, you see all kinds of effects. Your mind is not the same. You get weak. You can pass out, all kinds of things. Spiritually, we have the same kind of things. I think we kind of fall away. We're not as sharp as we should be. We're not as attuned to what God wants us to do and say. But the woman still didn't understand Jesus was talking about spiritual things. She wanted some water so she wouldn't have to come back and get water again. She's like, can you give me this water so I don't have to keep coming back here? He's like, yeah, you're missing the point. I'm not talking about that kind of water. That water's not going to satisfy you. That's not going to be something eternal. But he was offering her something awesome. And she missed it because she focused on the physical. She said, you don't have anything to draw with. Jesus proceeds to show her something about himself by telling her about her to go get her husband. And she says, I have no husband. He said, yeah, you've already had five. And the guy you're with now is not your husband. She's probably thinking, how did you know that? I've never seen you before. I've never talked to you, but how do you know that? How do you know all about me? If he knows about me, then why did he still talk to me? Then she says, he must be a prophet. Must be a prophet, he knows. Notice the woman avoids the issue of her infidelity. She changes the subject. She says, oh, you're a prophet. And then she says, the Jews worship right on this mountain, but now Jews want to worship in Jerusalem. So she tries to redirect the question away from what he's talking about to something else. Do we do that sometimes? When somebody tells us something, we kind of just redirect the question away and don't answer the question. You did this. Yeah, well, you know, my car is not working very well over here, right? Oh, I really need to vacuum today. So we sometimes avoid the issue because we don't want to get in the confrontation. I wouldn't say I do that, you know, but don't ask my wife. I just sometimes take a while to get to what I'm going to say or do. I don't always answer right away. Sometimes I'll just say nothing. And then I come back and then we'll talk about whatever it is. I like to think about it sometimes. But Jesus could see through the smoke screen and he could see her need. So she knew her life was a mess and he wanted to help her get it right. He didn't tell her all the bad things that she did. He didn't tell her all the things that she'd been doing. He said, I have some living water. Because he knew she was spiritually parched and she needed a savior. He didn't care that she was a Samaritan or that she was a woman. But he saw that she was a person, a creation of God. And he was there to talk to her. Sometimes God talks to us, doesn't he, in certain situations, or sends a person that's there at the specific time we need it to talk to us, because he knows we have that need. And he says, woman, and we talk about woman's not a bad thing. It's like woman. Remember we talked about before, he said woman's like ma'am, when Jesus said to his mother, woman. Believe me, a time is coming when you'll worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth. So he's telling her, a time is coming when where you worship doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where you worship, it's who you worship that makes a difference. That time is coming. And you need to worship the Lord. Verse 22 references salvation is from the Jews in that Jesus is born from the Jews. So her salvation and ours is from the Jews, right? Through the line of the Jews, the line of David. True worshipers worship the truth. They worship the one true God, the one Bible. Not ones that claim to be God or ones who claim what is true, but one that is really true. Goes on, he says, God is spirit. Tells us God's not limited by physical places, but rather is present everywhere for all to worship. He knows everything about us, right? He knows what we're thinking, what we're going to do. Doesn't mean he made us do it, but he knows it. And you've heard the term before, foreknowledge is not causative, which means because he knew it doesn't mean he made it happen, right? Just because he knew it doesn't mean he made it happen. Have you ever changed a subject when Jesus pointed out your sin? You're doing something wrong and you try to distract him? Oh, well, you know, wasn't really a big deal. Only did it one time, whatever. Do you pray sometimes and ask God to show you if there's any sin that you're not aware of? And if something pops in your head, what do? Do you just try to ignore it? You try to forget it? And then your conscience is going to say, you need to do something about that. Are you a quick change artist? Do you try to change the subject? Well, Lord, I was really asking you about this. I wasn't really talking about that. I was really more concerned about this. The woman at the well changed the subject, but it didn't take away her need. Didn't take away her sin, did it? Still there, even though she changed the subject, it was still there. Jesus loved her. He wanted her to notice what her sin was. He wanted her to know who he was. And he wanted her to confess and repent of what she had done and ask for forgiveness, which is the same thing he wants for us. The woman says she knows the prophecy of Christ, the Messiah. And Jesus says, I'm the one who speaks to you. I am he. He's telling her more than a prophet. He's the Messiah. You think she got it? Did she say, oh, really, you're the Messiah? She didn't say that, did she? We don't really know. You don't really see the response. You don't see a reply. We don't get to know if she fully realized that Jesus was the Messiah. But he met her where she was, and he went against the norms and taboos, so he could offer a solution to her sin problem and spiritual dryness. So there's a solution out there that he gives us for that. Will we take the solution or not? That's the question. It's up to us. He offers it. We are free to take it, or we could reject it. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So Jesus saw the woman's need. He didn't ask her about her wants. We have a lot of wants, don't we? A lot of things, I'd like to have that. Oh, that'd be good to have this. Oh, it'd be good if we could get that. She could have asked him for material things. She could have said, well, you know, I could use some money. I could use some clothes. Anything like that she could have said, but she didn't. Because the things of the world were not going to get her to heaven, only a relationship with Christ. We're good at times at focusing on something else, aren't we? Other than eternal things. You know, the 5 steps to this and the 3 steps to this and the certain way you got to do that, and you got to read this book, and you got to do these things. But the thing is, Jesus never asks you to change before he comes to you. He didn't say, well, when you get your life right, you come back and see me. He says, you see me now, and I'll see you now, and I'll change you from the inside out. He didn't say, you got to change first. He said, you come to me, and I'll change you. Isn't that kind of a nice thing to hear? I heard the guy talking about that the other day. He did a whole sermon on it. That God works on the inside. people look at the outside. You become saved, and they expect next Sunday you're going to do everything right. You're like, what? I don't even know. I just got saved. God's working on me. He's changing me. We don't change right away. Everybody has a spiritual need. Doesn't matter who it is. We all have a spiritual need. It may be different needs, but we all have the same Lord that can meet that need with the infilling of living water and a flood of the Spirit coming inside of us, helping us to realize our need. But Paul talks about it being a constant battle, doesn't he? As long as it's in this body, it's a battle every day. And we got to fight that battle to win, right? You don't fight the battle to just be even. If you're in a competition, you don't just want to be even. You want to win, right? You want to be the winner. Every November, you want to be the winner, right? Ohio State-Michigan game, you want to be the winner. Everybody wants to be the winner, right? In school today, everybody's a winner. Everybody's a winner no matter what. Good grades, bad grades, you're all winners. In God's eyes, you are, right? He's asking you to come to him, surrender yourself, and you're a winner. In the end, you're going to win. You're going to have heaven as your home eternally. That's why it's important to pray and talk to the Lord, because we know he's the way, the truth, and the life. He has living water. He sees our needs. He knows how to meet them. The question is, how do we respond to that? What do we do? Well, there's a story in Mark chapter 10. Tell us of somebody who refused to see his need and chose wealth over eternal life. You know this story. It says, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. And he said, good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So here's the thing we know first of all. He knew about eternal life. He was asking, how can I inherit eternal life? He's going to Jesus asking him. He says, why do you call me good? No one's good except God alone. You know the commandments. And the question you ask in that part, it says when he called him good, if God alone's good, did he know Jesus was God? I don't know. That's the question. It says, you know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give a false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declares, all these I've kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? He looked at him and he loved him. He didn't know him. Or the guy didn't think he knew him, but Jesus already knew the guy, didn't he? Looked at him and he loved him, and he said, this is what you have to do. One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. Why did he say that? Did Jesus want him to be poor? No. You know what he knew? He knew that his possessions were his God. That's what he served, that's what he lived for, and that was his identity, my possessions. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God? Disciples were amazed at his word, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. And you've heard the story about the eye of the needle. It's actually a place where the camel's got to get on their knees and take their packs off and go through. So they would have known what he was talking about. Disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who can be saved then? Jesus said to them, with man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So they're saying, you can't get to heaven on your own, but I can get you there. That's what he's telling them. So the young man realized that Jesus was good. He went to him to ask about eternal life. And then he went away sad because he wasn't willing to give up what was holding him. That can be your car, your house, right? Your spouse, anything that's more important to you than God. Your kids sometimes, right? Your dog, I don't know, whatever it's going to be for you. Whatever that thing is that becomes your focus on everything else. And you won't do anything for God. Doesn't mean you have to get rid of them. It just says, God's saying, I want you to worship me more than that thing. We all need money, but when money becomes more important than everything else, then we're in trouble. We become spiritually dry. Jesus saw his need. When he pointed out the need, the man refused to recognize it or do anything about it. You notice there wasn't much conversation after that, was there? When he said, this is your problem. The guy just walked away. He didn't want to say, what can I do? How can I start? What kind of things you want me to do? He just walked away because he didn't want to recognize his situation. And he says, how can we be saved? Well, with man it's impossible. With God it's possible. He sees our needs and they'll be met through Jesus. Philippians 4:19, my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. I think sometimes we interpret that as God will meet all your wants. Right? God will meet all your wants is what we think sometimes, but he says all your needs. We have a whole lot less needs than we have wants. We have a lot of wants. We only have certain needs that we have to have. So the woman had a need for Christ. She wanted water, but he wanted to give her something more than just a drink. He wanted to fill her, didn't he, with the Spirit. The rich young ruler needed Jesus. He wanted his riches, but they possessed him. Jesus said, get rid of what you worship instead of me, but he chose just to walk away when his need was pointed out. So Jesus knows what we need. He knows we need him. When he points it out, do we recognize it? Do we follow him? Or do we walk away? We always have a choice, don't we? When he says, get rid of this, we need to just get rid of it. It may be hard, but it'll be worth it in the end, won't it? Sometimes making the hard choice is the best choice. Because God knows what our need is, and he can meet it, whatever it is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you that you see our need, and that you can meet that need if we just give it to you, if we surrender to you. Give us strength, Lord, to go through the hard times. Give us perseverance. Give us peace as we walk the road you want us to walk. Give us joy in this life as we share the good news with others. Help us not to be afraid. Help us to be bold, be sincere, speak the truth. In your name, amen.
Let's stand and sing praises, shall we? I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I sing praises to your name, oh Lord, praises to your name, oh Lord, for your name is great and greatly to be praised. I give glory to your name, oh Lord, glory to your name. Great God, don't we? Let's go out and serve him this week. Thank you. Let me just remind you about the potluck. And then the service tonight is 6 o'clock. Hope to see you there. Planning on seeing you there.